Can you bear with me here, please? Dear Father in heaven, as we live our lives, you see everything we do, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And yet, miraculously, you still love us and walk with us. You still call us your children. You still draw us closer to you, wherever we are on our faith walk. Father, although the world around us is in turmoil, we know that we can have the peace that passes understanding because of you. Today we pray for the leaders of all the countries involved in war. We ask that you give their leaders wisdom. We pray for all the soldiers who are called to war. For some war they don't believe in. We pray for all the civilians who have lost their homes and lives and their livelihood. People who just want to live a life without suffering. Many people here today, Lord, are suffering either in body, mind, or spirit. Please give them your blessed assurance. Make us sensitive to the needs of others. May faith, hope, and love be formed within us until everything we do and say brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. As we pray the prayer that he taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, thank you.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our reading today comes from Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. But Ruth replied, "Do not ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Okay, we're going to start out this morning with a little Bible quiz. How many books are in the Bible? Anybody? Somebody said 66. 66, that is correct. And of those 66, how many of them are named after women?
Two.
Only two. But those are great books. Now, one of those books is the book of Esther. The book of Esther is a beautiful story, but it's about a king who gets tired of his wife and decides he wants a new one. So he holds a beauty contest that lasts a whole year, and he gathers up all the most beautiful women around, and then he picks out the beautiful Esther. Now, there's an evil character in this story, and that's the advisor Haman. He tricks the king into signing a decree that will get rid of all the Jewish people. And then he finds out that lo and behold, the beautiful Esther, who he has chosen as queen, is Jewish. But to make a long story short, what happens is Esther, with the help of her uncle Mordecai, comes up with a plan to help the king reverse his decree and let the Jewish people defend themselves, and thus they're saved. And Esther was the right person at the right time in the right place. Now, the other book in the Bible that's named after a woman is the book of Ruth, and that's where our scripture comes from today. Now, in this book, the story of Ruth is a widow who has two sons. Those two sons get married, but after about 10 years, those two sons died, leaving Naomi and her daughter, her two daughters-in-law, who are in destitute. Naomi urges the girls to go back to their own families, and one of them does. But the other one, Ruth, loves her mother-in-law. I know that's unusual, but she loves her mother-in-law, and she refused to leave her. And you might have recognized part of that scripture that was read today, where it says, this is often used in marriage ceremonies, but that is not the context here. Ruth says, I will go where you go. I will live where you live. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. You see, Ruth loved Naomi, and she wanted to walk with her, no matter where that path might lead them. And that's what you do when you really love somebody. You walk with them. Will you pray with me? Father God, today, may your word be heard, understood, and taken to heart by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I know you all remember what George Burns said about a good sermon. Has a great beginning, a great ending, and they are as close together as possible. Never mind what's in the middle. But we all know it's what's in the middle that counts. It's like that poem called The Dash. where somebody has a birth date and they have a date that they passed away. And in the middle is that dash. Well, that's where we lead our lives. We lead our lives in the middle. And sometimes that road, that walk in the middle, is a long walk. And sometimes it's hard. And sometimes it's very lonely. The vast majority of our life is spent in the middle. I'm going to read you some words. This is taken from a sermon by David Dunn. We live in the long middle, where some prayers have been prayed for years, but answers have not yet come. Where strength has been spent, but the road still stretches ahead. Where faith has not disappeared, but certainly has thinned. We live between diagnosis and healing, between apology and reconciliation, between promise and fulfillment, between what we believe and what we're still learning how to trust. And the middle can be lonely, especially if we quietly assume that our faith walk is something that we have to do alone and manage on our own. Have you ever noticed how many times you'll say to somebody, well, how are you doing today? And they'll say, oh, fine. And you look at them and you know absolutely they are not doing fine. They smile and they keep going even though they're exhausted. They're learning to manage quietly on their own. But we were never meant to be alone. Scripture tells us that God walks with us. This is what Psalm 40 says. He lifted me out of the pit of despair and mud and mire, and he set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. Some of you might know that Susan Gill, who is not here this morning, leads a walking group on Wednesday mornings. This summer, they are meeting at 9 o'clock in Trimble Park. And Trimble Park is a beautiful place to walk. Now, not everybody can make it every Wednesday. And those that do come sometimes can only walk part of the way and not the whole distance. Some people that come walk faster, and some are a little bit slower. But somehow, that pace gets adjusted for everybody. Because not everybody walks at the same pace. Jesus walked many dusty roads with people just like you and me. And he knew for sure that not everybody walks at the same pace. Our lives are very much the same. Some days we're sprinting, and the other days we're just limping along. Some days we're the strong ones, but some days we need somebody to lean on. Like that country song, sometimes you're the windshield, and sometimes you're the bug. Sometimes you're the windshield wiper, but sometimes you're the mud. After Jesus' resurrection, his discouraged disciples were walking along the dusty road when he joined them. They didn't even know it was him. But he didn't chide them. He didn't say, hey, it's me, don't you recognize me? He just walked along with them. Walking along somewhat with someone means adjusting your pace for someone who needs you to go a little bit slower. That's what real love is. Not trying to fix somebody. Not trying to rescue somebody. Not trying to drag somebody along at your pace. It's just being. Just being with somebody who's going through the toughest time in their life. Perhaps they're going through the weariness of a long chronic illness. Perhaps they're living with someone that they love who no longer even recognizes them. Somebody who's going through a period of grief on their own timetable and not the one that you think that they should be using. When I was a teenager, a young teenager in New York, there used to be dances on Friday and Saturday night, and they were at the local YMCA. They were called High Y dances. Friday night was for the junior high kids, and Saturday night was for the senior high kids. We would get all dolled up and tease our hair up, about 2 feet in the air, spray it with Aquanet, and walk the 10 blocks to the YMCA. Now, they always played mostly fast dances. This is back in the early 60s. They played fast dances mostly, but the last dance of the night was always a slow dance. And of course, you hoped someone would ask you to dance the last dance. And after the last dance, you hoped somebody would ask to walk you home. Now, walking somebody home implied something. It implied that they cared about you. It implied they liked you. It implied that they wanted to make sure that you got home safely. Walking each other home means not letting anybody walk by themselves through the most painful stretch of their life. In those stretches, again, those people don't need to be fixed. They don't need advice. They just need somebody walking along beside them who says, without using words, I'm here for you. I'm walking along with you. I'm walking you home. We are not meant to be alone. We're meant to be together in community. Last week, Brian's sermon came from the book of Acts, and he talked about Pentecost. In Acts, we see one of the clearest illustrations of what community looks like. And I'm going to be reading to you from the book of Acts in the second chapter. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and their possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, and they met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and with generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now, some people think when they read this story in the book of Acts that all these new Christians got together, packed up their stuff, moved outside the walls of Jerusalem, out in the countryside, and set up some kind of tent city and lived in a hippie commune. But that is not what the scripture says. It doesn't say that they lived together. It says that they met together. They met together. They listened to the apostles' teaching, and they shared their belongings, and they made sure that no one was in need. And scripture says, as a result of all that, God was adding to their numbers all the time. I'm pretty sure part of that was because these people were caring for each other. You remember last week, Brian showed a picture of a flamingo. And he said he wished he could write a sermon and kind of find some kind of sermon that he could write about that flamingo picture, because it was there. There it is. There is that flamingo. And he thought, oh, if I could only write a sermon around that picture of that flamingo. Well, that is how I feel about this story I'm going to tell you right now. So long before Facebook and Twitter and X and TikTok, there was the chain letter. Anybody remember ever getting a chain letter? So here's how the chain letter works, in case you didn't know. You would get a letter in the mail. You open it up, and there are like maybe 10 names. The instructions were, you were supposed to take the name at the top of the list, put it at the bottom, you put your name at the top, you copy that letter 10 times, you include a dime, and you send those 10 letters out. Of course, that was when stamps cost 2 cents. You sent it out to 10 people, and it promised that within a number of weeks, you would have this huge amount of money coming back to you. But there was always a warning, and the warning was, don't break the chain. Don't break the chain because some irreparable harm would come to you. Well, one day, the chairman of the staff parish committee of a Methodist church received a chain letter. And it said, are you unhappy with your pastor? And it gave the description of the perfect pastor. He got paid very little, but he tithed half of his salary to the church. He preached the perfect 15-minute sermon. He was always out at hospitals and nursing homes visiting people. And yet somehow he was always in the office and available for a phone call. Now, the letter said, if you're unhappy with your pastor, pack him up, send him to the church at the top of this list, and within a week you will have 1,643 pastors, and surely one of them will fit the bill for you. But it warned, at the end, don't break the chain. One church did, and they got their old pastor back within a week. Now, I thought that was a funny story for a number of reasons. And one of them is that there is no perfect pastor, but we have as close to perfect as I think you can get. Maybe I'm just partial. But many of you know here that Pastor Brian has a full-time job and family obligations outside of the church. Pastors were never meant to do every single job in the church. We are meant to be a community of caring. Let me read to you again some passages from the book of Acts. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting, and they said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God and not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and full of the spirit and wisdom, and we will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. See, we are called not just to take care of the church building, but we are called all to take care of the people inside the building. But we can't do that unless we know what's going on in each other's lives, unless we talk to each other, unless we have lunch with somebody, unless we get into a small group where we can get to know people on a more intimate basis. As a congregation, one of the things that's important to do is to fill out these connect cards. And it might be that you just jot your name at the top and throw it in the in the offering plate there, but it's important for us to know who needs prayer, who needs a card, who needs a phone call, who needs a visit. We want to know these things. Have you been out to visit somebody in the congregation? Let us know. How's that person doing? There's many ways that we can care for each other. One of the ways is, I love this story. There was a woman named Jane. And this isn't a story. This is a story, but it's a true story. Jane was a woman that belonged to a church that I once went to. Now, Jane had very, very little in the way of material things. And not only that, she had a lot of health issues, and she was also handicapped, physically handicapped. This meant that she couldn't contribute very much financially to the church, and she was limited in what she could do on a volunteer basis. But during the week, Jane wrote the most beautiful cards to people. It didn't have to be your birthday. It didn't have to be a holiday. But you would get a card from Jane. You'd open up your mailbox, and there would be a beautiful card, handwritten, full of scripture, telling you how much God loved you and how much Jane appreciated you. Over the years, other people began to help out with Jane's ministry by giving her blank cards and envelopes, and most of all, stamps, because they may have cost 2 cents at one time, but now they cost 78 cents. Jane had a ministry of caring. There's countless ways that we can care for each other. And God makes himself visible in the world by using us. He uses people who are willing to be used. So there's a caring ministry that all of us can have. In closing, I'd like you to think about all the people that God has placed in your life. Think about the people that are in your home, at your workplace, and in your church. Remember that these people may not be walking at the same pace that you're walking. They might not be on the same pace either physically, mentally, or spiritually. Someone who is struggling is not a liability. And somebody who's walking slowly is not a burden. They're part of your journey. So walk gently. Be kind. And walk attentively. Be aware of those around you who might need your helping hand. And last, walk together. The road is long and it's hard for most of us, and we were never meant to walk it alone. Will you pray with me? Thank you, God, for the people you have placed in our lives. Walk with us as we walk with each other. Help us to love each other as you have loved us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Will you please stand as we sing, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee.